why we came here, not be grammar, we can't talk. We came to pray. I have come to release you to go and marry. And you must marry. And when will you marry? Say it. Call your name. Nkechi, so time, I shall marry. Say it. No call long time, no call long time, because I no call here for long time project. I came here for short term project. Mention the day, the month you will marry again. Call your name and say it. Did you say it? Tap your neighbor and say, look, by so day I will marry. Tell him. Tell another person. Hallelujah. Listen very well, please, so that we flow. A Christian does not pray only when he has problems. There are prayers when problems come. But there are also preventive prayers. And every Christian, we are surrounded by enemies. So we must pray to prevent the activities of the enemies around us. When you become a Christian, the devil does things around us to make it look as if the decision we have taken is a wrong decision. One of the areas is in our finances, our businesses, finances generally. Another area is even our health. Another area is marriage. Another one is fruit of the womb. Frustrations. And a living church like this, we confront the enemy in these areas. That's why we have every Tuesday in this ministry healing and deliverance service. That's why on Thursday and on that same Tuesday, we face the women who are pregnant for safe delivery, and also those who are still expecting. We bless their wombs. Speak to the wombs. Then we come back here every Thursday in a short service for breakthrough. As to take care of our finances. And generally, every Friday, we come here and pray. Once you have become a Christian, prayer must be part of your daily activities. When Satan wants to mess you up, the first area he does is to attack your prayer life. Give you every reason not to pray. Or put you in an estate where if you pray, there can be no answer. So we come together today to face one of these areas, the area of marriage. Young people waiting to get married. Why do we need to pray? We need to pray because so that we will not enter a wrong relationship. Satan can stage a horrible relationship for you. He cannot stop you from getting married. You're a Christian, Abby. He will wait for you and bring a horrible man to marry. And the one that he will bring is not the one you pick on the road. Sure, you say you'll be Christian. He will disguise like a Christian. After you don't marry, you finish. I've seen where people from the same church marry and there's no peace in that marriage. One of the two, one of them, the devil bring her and come. And I'm also aware that sometimes it's waiting for you. His own is you should not marry at all. I've seen where as soon as you get the man that you are in love with, the woman you are in love with to marry, then you will see some funny medical reports will start to come. He's S-A-S, I am A-S, so you cannot marry. Or when we went for test, now he say he get HIV, me I no get, he get. Put you in a position where you just know you can't marry. Or it will drop something in you that will manifest only after you have married to delay conception. One problem or the other, say you know ovulate, say you know fibroid, say all those funny things. And worse still, there's another group that is a demon that has covenanted against your marriage. He say, he don't marry you. So no other man or no other woman can marry you. And if he cannot, then you will go and attack the brother's finance. They graduate, no work. So how can you get wife? And some, now the uncle, your papa don't die, your mama don't die, then one horrible uncle will just come. If they vex, say you, they go marry your own daughter, never marry. I begin to put the hurdles. Or you will go like this, the in-law will reject you. The in-law will say, no, where are you from? Or have you? Or somebody will come and say, you are, he's Osu, cannot marry you. Iri, different problems, all to frustrate people getting married. Or as soon as you engage, one horrible sickness will come, begin to manifest. The man will look and say, what didn't happen now? They withdraw. What is happening? Or you get better relationship you are going on. An unfriendly friend, household enemy, whatever you call them, will go behind you and scatter it with gossip from jealousy. It happens. Or a curse is following that family. Cause. Tie everybody. Nobody will marry until all my children don't marry. They don't get all. I don't get grandchildren. Then I feel release any of you. Which cause can happen. And the last one I can remember for now, and which is the worst, is you yourself with a bad character. That's the worst. Bad character. Any one of you that falls within this category, there shall be deliverance today in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Any of you here, you have entered a covenant, say you not go marry. Because you came here today, you go marry. That covenant will break. That covenant will break, Praise the Lord. It is what you say that heaven will answer. I believe in courtship. I teach that don't take a man, a woman, for marriage without knowing who you want to marry. The desire, the urgency, no matter what, to marry, the urge to get married, whatever it is, don't let it blind you until anybody that come and say, I go marry, you go say, oh yeah, cha cha cha, which day? There are some people that I just, anyhow, I just want to marry. It is better sometimes you remain single for life than to enter hellfire and call it marriage. There are marriages that some marriages you enter from day one, no peace until Jesus comes. And the reason is because you married a stranger. You must marry a friend. You must marry a friend. There must be friendship. Friendship is what we call courtship. It is during that period you are able to know. There's a period you get to know whether this bad character where I get, where I know fit change, and I know go change, whether this man go fit keep me. And the man too go look at you. That is the period. Don't pretend. Don't pretend. Be yourself. Be yourself. So that if you marry finish, they do something, say, which country? You go tell and say, now what do you know me to do before I come marry? I be like this. You don't know me before. Did I deceive you? But tell them. That is the period a matured man, a matured woman. That's why you should not marry until you are of age. You should be able to know what is good for you. What you can take and what you cannot take. And let me tell you something. For every daughter of God, there is a son of God somewhere for husband. So I was counseling a sister who had a brother. Amen. Had a brother that wanted to marry her. And the brother just saw another girl. And for any reason, just abandoned this one. This one didn't even know. While she was away, the man she was hoping on was, they were introducing them in this church for marriage. Then her friend phoned her and said, ah, what happened? This brother and another sister they introduced her. And she was saying she's not aware. What happened? She don't know. Naturally, the girl would feel bad. But let me tell you, sisters, including brothers, it's both ways. Let me tell you, if you're a true child of God, sometimes there are prayers we pray that when God is answering, we will not know. If you have ever prayed that, Lord, if I'm entering any relationship and it is not your will, and it is a relationship I will suffer later, Father, at any stage, scatter it. If you pray that prayer sincerely, when you face a disappointment, then praise God. That means this is not the one meant for me. That's all. And you brothers that do that, it's a big risk you are taking for your life, for your future. Because you hurt a girl like that, and that girl, in that state of frustration and anger against you, lays a curse on you. Nothing will stop it. That curse will come to pass. That's why some men, after marriage, wahala. And it will take, sometimes a prophet will say, there's a girl you disappointed. That girl cursed you. And you know what? No deliverance you go through until you look for her wherever she is to reverse it. People take that risk. A human being is not some furniture object you see in any shop. Praise the Lord. Furniture where you buy, I don't like this one again, you just drop and take. Human being, don't promise any girl you want to marry her. Don't even take her to your parents until you are sure you are making up your mind. For you, you are already satisfied with her. Now you want the opinion of your parents, then you now bring her. Don't bring her to your parents to take decision for you. You have already made up your mind, you love her, and you are introducing her to your parents. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my emphasis is don't do that. It's a big risk. When you are coming to church, this is where you will meet. Except you already hook up to any hawker. When they hawk, they pass your shop every day for Ladipo. Then you can dress anyhow, because she too, she don't dress well. But you are coming to church where you will see fine girls like this. My, you sell yourself. It's packaging. Brother, package yourself well. Dress well. Rub better cream. Better gentleman haircut. Put better perfume. Polish your shoe. Now something you define. Now marketing is packaging. Don't come anyhow. This is the place you should dress your best. When do you dress? Now during New Year festival you go dress well. Dress well, because you never can tell. Dress anyhow, finish. The sister, they go bus stop. Then they wait for her, and then they follow up on side. The sister with the drawback. Or in the hurry, they follow her. He goes, start say, brother, waiting. Now your dress, you are disgracing her. You are even spoiling market for her. Praise the Lord. Now there's something during this friendship period. When I called for someone to come, said something. He mentioned something, he called my attention to something that I want to also emphasize. Because it will help you. Take note that there is nowhere in the Bible that we have the Word of God instructing the women to love their husbands. There's nowhere like that. It is always the men. It's the men that are told to love their wives. Man, husband, say, love your wife. Let's read it in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Apostle Paul setting the church in order, and he put it this way. Verse 22. This is the way to the wives. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Then he said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Are you together? In some things? In what? Everything. Not some things. Everything. Then to the husbands, verse 25. He said, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If you go to Colossians chapter 3. And verse 19. Verse 18 first. To the wives, verse 18. Verse 18 is to the wives, verse 19 to the husbands. Verse 18. Wives, it says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And to the husbands, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And Peter also, 1 Peter chapter 3, he also repeated the same thing. Verse 1, likewise, you wives, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You will notice Peter and all the apostles. You will notice to the man is a love. To the woman is submission. That is respect. And that is one thing that during courtship you want to confirm. You want to confirm that the man loves you. Brother wants to confirm that the girl will respect you, will submit herself to you. And when we say respect, I also want you to note that respect is actually, in a proper setting, is not demanded. When the man has to keep reminding you, Nkechi, you are not respecting me. Nkechi, you are not respecting me. Something is wrong with the setting. You are not, during courtship, you are not supposed to demand respect and define respect. No. And thank God we come from a part of the world where we understand respect, because it is actually, you know, the application of that differs from place to place. When you meet a highly cultural person, then he would want you to show respect in the cultural way where the person came from. The Yoruba, the tribe that put a lot of high premium to demonstration of respect. But of course, if you are meeting somebody who has a Western culture, maybe he was born and brought up in the Western world, America, Europe. Hi, man. What's up? So like, what's up, man, I'm hungry, man. And then you say, oh, the kitchen is there, man, you know. And you say, oh, thank you for showing me where the kitchen is. Hey, babe, where is the onion, babe? But if the person is from where? from Mbise. He will sit down. No matter how hungry he is, he's waiting for the wife to come back and cook for him. If not that kind of man you want to marry, what is respect is different. So you have to be careful, you know. And sometimes your in-law, your mother-in-law will come and he will tell you, Mama, my mama is around, though. She's asking that she wants to see the girl I want to marry. Then the first thing you should do is, where is she from? Which village? Which town? Which tribe? How did they show respect to them there? You're supposed to find out. And come, even if not drama you go do, act it very well. So that she will be sweet and say, this is my daughter. Because you know the things they will watch out for. The woman wants to see you cook. Say, let me see whether you can cook for my pikin. The woman wants to see how you will arrange the house as you came in. Then you can't sit down, cross leg. Now your son, go fridge, can't serve you, drink. Then when he finish, now he can't clear the plate. The woman go sit down there, they swear for you. And this guy will go marry my pikin and subakpa. Before you know what, as you go finish, you will face him. If now my breast you suck. So show respect. Show respect. It's reflected on how you address him, how you respond to him. When he offends you, how you react, there's still a tone of respect in it. Show respect. Let him know. Especially if you are more educated than him or you are more advantaged in any area than him. Maybe you come from a wealthy family, the woman, and he's from a less wealthy family. You are educated, he's not educated. You just have some advantage over him. He will naturally have a complex, and it's your responsibility to remove that complex, to let him know that you are still subject to him despite whatever position he finds himself, whatever disability he finds himself. You make him look like a king. You make him look like your oga. The thing will be sweeter. Praise God. Anything you want, he will do it for you. Then to the man, the Bible says you should love your wife. Now you say, how am I to love her? Apostle Paul said, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is how you are to love your wife. You are to love your wife as yourself. And you should love your wife. What Apostle Paul is saying is that you love your wife to a stage where you are ready to die for her. That means during courtship, you demonstrate that type of love. In season, out of season, when you are needed, you'll be there. When she needs you, you'll be there. You should care for her. When she's not happy, you cannot be happy. You have an assignment, a project to ensure she is always happy. And you cannot say you love her and you don't give her gifts. Love is expressed with gifts. You should be able to buy things for her. And when you say buy things for her, we're not saying you should go and empty your account. Women, especially in this modern time, is just to be romantic, just to show care. Anytime you are coming to visit her, you should bring something, even if not a recharge card. If you don't have anything, please, I'm talking to the people around in this part of the world. Don't bring flour. Don't look at Western film the way they do their own and you say, bring flour. Now, the Western world, Europeans, Americans, they even grow flowers for that purpose around them. You pluck one, oh, I'm going to see my heartbeat. I'm going to see my sweetheart. And then you put the flower like this for back. Then you go knock. Bang, 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 bang. You ring the bell. People say, oh, it's Johnny. Then you open the door. Then you say, hi, honey. They say, oh. That one, in America, Europe, for Africa, Nigeria in particular. You are coming there, you go buy flour. Then you are coming to see her. Then you are looking at, Nkechi, guess what? Guess what? I have something for you. What is it? Hey, flower. When he release one word on you, you go look. You should know what she likes. You should know what she likes. You are coming, if not food, don't go to mommy market here to buy food for her. Go somewhere with a label of that special franchise. What do you call them? Thirsty fried chicken. Cold store. Cold stone. Cold. Not hot stone. No. Cold stone. Ice cream. Don't bring bitter cola. Ice cream. Buy pizza, buy shawarma. That's what women like. Buy it for them. You travel, you come back, buy something for her. Even on Onitsha, you go as you are coming. In fact, Onitsha self. You go village, you are passing through Onitsha. Buy something for her. You see these little things you do for them. Just watch it. When you buy, I go keep and somewhere for one corner in her room. They look the thing where you bring from. That is evidence you care. And please, even if you don't have money, they want to hear your voice every day. As she wake up, now you she first hear. Hi, honey. Say, I couldn't sleep last night. What happened? I was just thinking of you. Even if you were not thinking of her. Even if all through the night you were thinking of how you could get money, solve your matter. Wake up in the morning, hi honey, I couldn't sleep. I was just thinking of you. Were you thinking of me like that too? I don't know how you just scatter my head like this. I don't know. As you enter motor, they go, honey, and they go walk now. As you drop finish, honey, I don't reach. How was your day? If she's traveling, you monitor her until she arrives. Monitor to show love, not monitor to see whether another man, they take care of her somewhere. There are two types of monitoring. Hello? Where are you there? And they hear somebody's voice. Who did there with you? That's jealous one. That's nagging. No woman likes a nagging man. And no man likes a nagging woman. A relationship that has no trust, there is no need for that relationship. If you don't trust her, then what is the basis of the relationship? Why are you monitoring her? You should believe her. And you too, she should believe you. When you say, but one thing is, before she believes you, she has tried you, she has confirmed. If she finds out you are lying to her, she will never trust you. And if he finds out too you are lying to him, he cannot trust you. And one way is, anytime you are with her, a phone call. A call comes in. A cut. Who be that? Don't mind him. He ring again. Wrong number. Give her the phone now. She want to know who. You are busy trying to delete it. And then when you say, let me see, you say, you don't trust me. That's one problem I have with you. You don't trust me. Then you pick up fight. So that while you are fighting that period, it's taking time and deleting and deleting. When you don't finish deleting, you say, see, we should understand each other. You have already created suspicion. That's one problem we have even in Christianity. You are supposed, your eye is supposed to be single. Don't have cross eye. There are some people that have cross eye. When they look here, let your eye be single. One at a time. When you meet her, prove to her. Is totally submitted to her. Submit yourself totally, body, soul, and spirit. Because that's the period you get to know yourselves. Including the last relationship that just ended. So that if the person is still calling, then you have already told him, see, is this useless man that is calling me? And this useless man, very useless. See, now they call me. Then two of you will plan together. Say, I better help me answer him. Make him know, say, confirm. Then, say, you go tell her, what did you tell her and say? Tell her and say, she says she don't want again. What did they call her again? But if you see her, she's not sure. She don't want to drop this one totally. She's not sure whether you're serious or you're not serious. So she's gambling here, gambling there. The fault is your own. You give her the confidence, she will drop the useless man. Because she wants to be sure whether or not you useless pass that to herself. Praise the Lord. So take note of that respect from the woman, love from the man. And that is what you want to confirm during courtship. You want to confirm that I am not marrying my oga. I mean the man. Praise the Lord. But is there any question you want to use this opportunity to ask? Very few. Don't tell me. And please ask me Christian relationship. Not unbeliever. Come forward, let me hear you. Give the microphone, please. Yes.
Good morning, sir. I would like to ask a question on behalf of... Okay, good morning, sir. I would like to ask a question on behalf of my friend. Actually, I was invited to this program. She's in a relationship with a brother, and she later discovered that the brother doesn't have any money. Like, he doesn't have any savings, and he wants to marry her. He had an outstanding thousands of debts. He also have a present debt he's also working on. So he, at a point where my friend got to know, she felt like, but she prayed. So she's actually confused if she should go ahead in this relationship or not.
To marry a debtor.
I'm I'm asking on our behalf, sir.
Yeah, I know. You know, she got into a relationship with a man that has debts all over him. So what should she do?
Yes.
She should join him to pray so that the debts will be cleared. Or join him to walk so that the debts will be cleared. That is not enough to cut the relationship. There are problems that human beings encounter. There are problems, and it is not an incurable problem. Certainly. The only thing is, will he have money? So maybe she's beginning to think that she will have to wait, the marriage will wait until the debts are over before the marriage is consummated. But I also know that if she loves him, this is the time to, you know, identify with his present estate, which is a passing phase. She will stand with him. It's a problem, and they should jointly face it, and through her prayers and his own, that phase will pass. It is not part of the criteria to stop a relationship. Yes, next person.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Please, can age be a barrier to Christian courtship?
Eh?
Age. As in, if the lady senior the brother, can it be a barrier to the marriage? Please, I want.
Listen, and it's very important. Scripturally, there is no scripture that I know of that is against a young boy marrying an older woman. There is no scripture. But we come from a larger society where we have norms, and the boy's parents and relations, in the context of our culture, we never allow it. So why do you want to marry a woman that will be stigmatized? Why will you want to marry a woman that your people will not accept? So if you want to marry a woman that is older than you, let the age be such that, you know, it's not sin. Unless it is spoken, you don't know. You know, there are some women that no matter how old they be, they still look like baby. But not the one that visibly, then they see, say, like your mama, you want marry. I think it will be wrong. Thank you. Yes?
Praise the Lord. I want to ask this question based on my conversation with somebody who is also a William Graham's believer, the end time believer. I don't know whether he's a pastor. I posted something on Facebook the day the Prince of Wales wedded Meghan, the lady called Meghan. You know, I was commenting on the lady's dressing. I was telling
the lady called
Meghan.
Oh, the one that married
them. Yes.
Yes.
So I posted, I said, ladies, did you people also notice that this lady, on how rich they are, a royal wedding, the dressing was very simple and, you know, no makeup and all that. So people started commenting. And the man said something. He said, did we also know that she was married, she already had a husband, and that the wedding is not institutional. Is an institutionalized adultery. So somebody commented and said, sir, the lady was divorced, as we all know. The man now started and saying that he's divorced in the Bible and all that, and they started discussing. So I decided to private chat him I said, I don't know the story of this lady, how she was divorced and all that. I said, sir, you made a point when you were discussing with this lady. You said, on no account should any man or woman leave the wife or the husband for anything. I said, sir, are you also saying, even in violence or whatever? He said, on no account. He started mentioning so many scriptures to me. I now waved it. I said, anyway, my emphasis here still remains that her dressing is very simple and nice. The man now asked me something. He now said, I should go back to Voice of Recordings, you know, that William Branham preached about marriage. He now said that if anybody marries anybody and is wedded, the person wed the person. For whatever it is, even if the person is beating you or whatever, that you can step aside for some time or report and you still remain unmarried till death do part. I now ask the man, do you say that if the person maybe is beating me or there is a reason why I left the man, I should go and be praying that the man will die so that I will forge ahead with my life? He said, well, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that you should remain like that until the death separate, because it's an oath. You have taken an oath. I said, no, I'm going to throw this question to my pastor, that I don't understand you, sir. Are you also saying that the Bible that says we should obey the law of the land? It may be if something led to separation and you go to the court and dissolve the marriage on us, that you say that all these things is the worldly something, that an end time marriage message believer on no account should not, if you had wed before, you should just forget about it on this planet Earth, and you should go back and sit down and wait till death do your part. I got confused. I said I will ask this question because
if I follow your chat with him, he is telling you that Megan was divorced. You should have asked him whether he knows why she divorced. Why they divorced in the first place. Then you also ask him whether when they divorced, they were Christians. When they married, they were Christians. Then you will ask whether they are Christians now. Well, we know that the Church of England is headed by that family, so certainly they are Christians by religion. So unless that question is answered, I can't reply that man. Because this Bible, in Matthew chapter 19, it tells us that the only reason you can put away your wife is if you catch her in fornication. So, there is provision for divorce in the Bible. Apart from, and when you divorce, of course, you will remarry. So apart from death that permits you to remarry, you are also, according to the Bible, if you catch him or she catches you in fornication, you can break that marriage. And the third one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says, if the unbelieving depart, you are no more under any bondage. What is the bondage? It's the bond of marriage. So, are you saying that you will not marry again? If you read in between the lines there, it's very simple. Bondage of marriage bond with you, if I'm free from it, I can pick another wife. So you cannot generalize it and say, once you are married, you cannot, under any condition. No, there are conditions you can divorce and remarry. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.